Second Homes by Grant Eustace, starring Peter Egan as Stanford Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Dr. Watson. Episode 1, The Case of the Grandfather's Client.
The way you treat your digestive system, Holmes, it's a wonder you haven't done yourself some serious damage.
Watson, while I'm only too pleased when you call here so early in the morning, I would be grateful if I could finish eating before you begin to scold me.
You're such a trial to us. Your family doesn't deserve the friendship of doctors. Your grandfather, with that insidious drug-taking of his, your father, with his smoking almost every waking minute.
Well, still he managed to cough on into his mid-70s.
Yeah, and then you. For weeks you live on nothing but coffee, which one of these fine days will give you palpitations of the heart.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, and then suddenly you go to the opposite extreme, sitting down to a breakfast that could feed four people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do help yourself to toast.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, well, goodness knows how much cholesterol in it. I despair of you. I really do.
I might be forgiven for the same reaction about you. You're always telling me to apply myself more, but you appear to have forgotten that when I have no project to engage my mind, I have very little enthusiasm for food. When my interest is aroused, however, my appetite returns, so I indulge it. And then you tell me off. It really is most unreasonable of you.
Ah, a project, eh? I knew it. The Samuelson diamonds.
What about them?
You've been called in to help recover them.
What can I do that can't be done by all the resources available to Scotland Yard? After all they have to do is to find a naturalized Hungarian with the top of his left index finger missing.
Hungarian? There's been nothing about that in the report.
I know, it takes them a little time, but they'll work it out. They don't need any help from me.
So, this is some new case that hasn't reached the papers yet.
Oh, no, it's in all the papers. It's the excavation of the Roman remains down by the river.
Remains?
It seems to confirm what I've always believed, that the name Garlic Hythe, far from being a place where garlic was unloaded and sold, is really a corruption of Grelictus, meaning raised on grali or stilts, so that...
I don't believe it.
Oh, that's certainly what Grelictus means.
Holmes, every time my back is turned, you're off on some new tack. 2 months ago, it was all hang gliding. A month ago, you were building a satellite receiver. And now it's archaeology.
Philology, actually.
Well, it's not good enough. Do you think your grandfather went to the trouble, late in life, of establishing the Holmes line for you to neglect your calling?
Establish the Holmes line? You make my family sound like a railway. My dear Watson, you must be by now the only person in the world who believes that the profession of consulting detective is not a dead one.
Not at all. What about all these people who write to you every day?
They are the least successful in our society, Watson, who approach me merely to boost their low morale. A young lady wants to locate a young man so she can bring about a paternity suit. An old lady wishes to recover a missing poodle, and so it goes on. They want a lost property office, not me.
Just a minute, Holmes. Before you throw them away, did I recognize the crest on the back of that envelope?
I doubt it.
Let me see.
Oh, very well.
Postmark Devon. A boar's head. Great Scott, Holmes, this is the Baskerville crest. Don't tell me Sir Henry Baskerville has written to you.
He would need a means more supernatural than the post office. He would be comfortably over 120 by now.
Ah, his son, of course. I may read this, mayn't I?
Anything to stop you complaining about my drinking coffee.
Let's see. My dear Holmes, you might be forgiven for believing this letter to be the ramblings of an old man. Now, indeed, I would not have written but for the insistence of my nephew, Michael. Nephew, eh? Basically, the problem is this. A couple of weeks ago, a sheep was found dead.
Oh, dear.
It had been badly savaged around the throat. Good Lord. I wonder what could have done that.
Now, careful now, Watson. Don't jump to conclusions.
Oh, no, of course. The throat. Two or three times in the last week, there have been strange noises at night. Holmes, I knew it! These noises sound like an animal, but like no animal you have ever heard. The Baskerville name is associated with that ridiculous curse. Holmes, it is! It's the hound.
Watson, how could it be the hound? My grandfather emptied a revolver into it, and I understand he was a moderately accurate shot.
Well, it's obviously that hound's dead. Well, it was a put-up job anyway. The legend says... Good heavens, Holmes, there might, after all, be a spectral hound loose on Dartmoor.
Watson, really? How can a down-to-earth medical man make such a statement?
There are stranger things in heaven and earth, Holmes, than any...
That's as may be. But where has this hound got its sense of timing from? Why should it lie low for 3 centuries and then appear just at this moment?
Aha! So you're saying this is another attempt to use the legend as a cover for some evil purpose?
No.
Oh.
But I will say it's a trivial matter we need consider no longer. Read the rest of Sir George's letter.
Let's see. There is probably some simple explanation. But they're a superstitious lot down here, and this thing might get out of hand. But I leave it to you to decide if you can spare the time to look into... Well, of course you will.
Nothing is further from my mind.
But, Holmes, think of your reputation. What if something were to happen to Sir George and you weren't there?
Watson, Sir George is 79. Am I supposed to prevent nature taking its course?
Do you know what I mean? In the event of foul play...
There's no suggestion of that.
So you intend to refuse this cry for help from a frail old man?
If he's old and frail, he needs a nurse, not a detective.
I'm well qualified for both. I shall go down.
How is it that your practice allows you so much time away?
Ah, that's the beauty of these health centres. With 4 GPs in one building, getting away for a few days is hardly ever a problem.
I hope your patients share your view.
Now, this is your last chance, Holmes. Are you coming down to Devon with me?
Well, I suppose I could see if there's any philological research I can do.
Capital! I'll ring and say we're on our way. Holmes? Holmes?
Yes?
You awake?
No, I talk in my sleep. Are we there already?
No, just past Swindon.
Well done. What is it?
2 things. First, your copy of Who's Who had all the facts about Sir George.
Yes.
His service in the Second World War, Lord Lieutenant and so on, and his marriage. Seems his wife died some years ago, but there was no mention of any children.
So you assume there aren't any?
Oh, yes. Didn't you see? We have the same pattern re-emerging. A problem of who inherits from a childless Baskerville.
There's no pattern. The problem in the first Baskerville case was the disposal of a fit 30-year-old man in order to inherit. Whoever is due to inherit on this occasion only needs a little patience. Wake me when we get there.
The will needs looking into, don't you think?
If you say so.
Now, the second thing.
Oh.
When I rang Baskerville Hall, a woman answered the phone. Sir George said later her name is Mrs. Garcia.
And?
Well, that's not a very British name, is it?
Not very.
Spanish extraction, would you say?
A reasonable deduction.
There you are. There's a pattern again. In the first case, there was just such a woman, too, from Costa Rica.
Watson, if you're going to spend the entire time looking for parallels of that occasion, I shall get out now and return to London by train.
I advise against that, Holmes.
Why?
The train drivers are on strike.
Oh, so they are. Then I shall go back to sleep.
If we'd got in my car, we'd have been there by now.
I would have had a coronary. The way you drive that Ferrari takes years off my life. Far be it from me to criticize your grandfather, but I think he has a lot to answer for, leaving you all that money.
Do you? Well, think about your Baskerville parallels instead and consider this. The original hound was to attack its prey at night on the moor. Mm-hmm. Do you honestly see a 79-year-old man taking nocturnal walks?
Mind if we stop for a second, Holmes?
What for?
Well, this is quite a moment. Our arrival on the moor. I've never been here before, as it happens.
Except in spirit.
So, of course. What was it my grandfather wrote about it?
I'm sure you'll remember it.
When you are once out upon its bosom, you have left all traces of modern England behind you. He knew what he was about, eh, Holmes? It's still the same today. What was that?
Just a trace of modern England, Watson, right behind you. In fact, a coach full of Japanese tourists. The driver seems to think you're blocking the road.
Japanese tourists? Is nothing sacred.
Watson, if you keep stopping like this, we'll never get there.
Oh, just once more. After all, it's our first sight of Baskerville Hall. Come on, Holmes.
Oh, at least we won't find tourists here.
They'd have too much sense.
Oh. Ah, this really is wild country. Just us and the hall. Did you hear that, Holmes? That was a shot.
From a 7.62 self-loading rifle, unless I'm very much mistaken.
Holmes, we must get to the hall.
Why, no one's shooting at us, are they?
What if it's an attempt on Sir George's life?
Ah, the hound's been trained to use a rifle, has it?
Holmes, do you hear that? Good Lord, where did that come from?
Not bad flying for this terrain. Can't be more than 50 feet from the ground.
Holmes, look over there.
Excuse me, gentlemen. But in case you're not aware of it, you're right on the edge of a military exercise area.
Oh, good Lord.
Keep on the road, or to the right of it, if you would.
Yes, of course.
Don't stray over that side.
Thank you so much.
We're very sorry.
Any more nostalgic stops you wish to make before we get to the hall, Watson?
Times may have changed, Holmes, but the mystery remains. Why did we receive that letter from Sir George?
Because he posted it to us.
Welcome to Baskerville Hall, gentlemen.
Ah, it's Mrs. Garcia, isn't it?
That's right. Please come in.
Oh, I say, look at that, Holmes. It's just as I imagined it. Stained glass, a stag's heads, the oak panelling.
The radiators.
Well, you must expect a few concessions to progress, I suppose.
If you would wait here for a moment, I'll tell Sir George you've arrived.
I wonder, could we wait in the dining room?
If you want to, of course. Through here.
Thank you. There, you see, Holmes, definitely foreign.
Certainly some Spanish blood.
Yeah, what did I say?
But also a strong strain of Igorot Indian.
What?
So, the lady is from the Philippines.
Good heavens, is she really? Ah, there are the family portraits. Must have a closer look. Oh, it's fascinating, eh, Holmes?
A poor second to Roman remains, I'm afraid.
Good afternoon, Dr. Watson.
No, I am Stamford Holmes. That's Dr. Watson.
I'm sorry, I naturally thought...
Of course, it's a slight affectation Watson has, using that large magnifying glass.
Sir George, delighted to meet you.
Let's go across to the library. Mrs. Garcia will want to lay up for dinner in here. I can't tell you much more than I put in the letter. We've heard the noises once more since then.
The noises? Are they... I mean... It is within the bounds of possibility that they come from a hound.
Yes, in theory, yes, but in practice, that would mean subscribing to the legend of the curse. No grown man could do that.
Quite. No grown man could do that.
Well, have you any other explanation?
It's a trick of sound, I'm sure. Only hear it at night, you see.
Only at night? And no one's seen any tracks? Or even seen an animal?
No.
When the sounds are heard, where do they come from?
Oh, good heavens, of course. They come from the Grimpen Mire, don't they?
It's difficult to say exactly where at night, but it's on that side of the house.
We'd better go and see the infamous Grimpen Mire.
The mire's not what it was. We've drained and cultivated a lot of it.
I think there was a question you wanted to ask about a will, Watson.
Oh, yes, good gracious, yes, I totally forgot. I appreciate this might be a little sensitive, Sir George.
You mean, what happens when I go?
I didn't want to put it quite that way.
That's just your doctor's bedside manner. It's all signed and sealed. Apart from some small bequests of staff and old friends, the hall and the estate go to my nephew.
You mentioned him in your letter.
Young Michael, yes. He's running the estate already. I'm much too old for that. I can barely get into a Land Rover now, let alone drive it across the moor.
Let alone walk across the moor.
River liked walking. Now I can't, anyway.
Michael inherits directly, does he?
Yes. His parents, my sister and her husband, died a couple of years back, so that just leaves Michael.
Ah.
He only needs to be patient. Though he's not very good at that, unfortunately.
Did he ask to come here?
Yes. He's been to university and studied farming and estate management, that sort of thing. Mm. Fill him full of silly notions, Marcus. But he'll run this place one day anyway, and I may manage to knock some sense into him before I turn my toes up. Uphill job there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd better get Dolores, Mrs. Garcia, to show you to your room.
Oh, thank you.
Give you a chance to clean up from the journey before dinner.
Thank you.
How do you think we're doing, Holmes?
Very well, Watson.
Oh.
It was a nice touch to get a few minutes alone to look at the portraits, in case you meet anyone who resembles a Baskerville but isn't using that name.
Ah, you noticed that that's what I was doing, did you?
Mm.
Well, we have the nephew, clearly at odds with Sir George, and then the housekeeper.
I'm sure she's very significant.
You think so too, eh? Tell me, I don't know much about the Philippines. Do they have voodoo there?
You're only about 12,000 miles out, Watson. That's the Caribbean.
I thought the Philippines were the Caribbean.
Well, that would explain why it took us so long to get here.
You don't have to sound so patronizing, Holmes. You know what your grandfather said. It is one of the elementary principles of practical reasoning that when the impossible has been eliminated, the residuum,
however improbable, must contain the truth.
Yes.
It's just that we may differ on what we regard as impossible. But at least we can agree that that means we should go down for dinner.
I hope you've had sufficient, gentlemen.
Quite, thank you. And how entertaining to be eating mango and prawns in the middle of Dartmoor.
Yes, delicious.
As Dolores tries to keep our menus interesting with some dishes from her own country.
I wanted to ask about Mrs. Garcia, Sir George. Confidentially, of course.
I say, you're a bit of a fast worker. You've only been here a few hours and already you've got your eye on...
Nothing like that.
Oh, there's no need to keep up a front with me. I can see you're a man after my own heart. Can't resist a pretty face.
Very astute of you, Sir George.
Oh, come now, Holmes. Now, what I meant, Sir George, was why a housekeeper from the Philippines?
Because they are the best. I found that out when I was there towards the end of the war. I was attached to the American forces out there. Oh, but they were good times. I remember so...
But why this particular lady?
What? It was about the time the old housekeeper wanted to retire. An agency in London rang up and asked if I could take her.
Unsolicited?
As it happens, yes. Suited my book very well, since she was a widow. No family ties, you see, even though she's barely 40.
Oh.
So she got the position. And very good she is, too.
Most interesting. Don't you think, Holmes?
Fascinating.
Ah, sounds like Michael's back at last.
Ah, good.
He's been up to Bristol to arrange for some newfangled equipment he wants to buy.
Evening. Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson, I imagine.
Yes, hello.
I'm pleased to see you.
Well, now you're here, I can leave you to entertain our guests. I can't keep late hours anymore.
Of course.
We should have a little talk.
Good night, Sir George.
Good night, Sir George.
Uncle, I wanted to discuss my meeting today.
All in good time, Michael.
Yes, but
you know Dolores doesn't like me talking business after dinner. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
Dolores this, Dolores that. I sometimes wonder who owns this place.
Ah, you believe Mrs. Garcia exercises undue influence over Sir George?
Well, he listens to her more than he does to me. And there's so much to talk to him about and to get done.
Such as?
Well, most of the estate is still being farmed with methods introduced by Uncle George's father when he came over from Canada. Hopelessly out of date. And then there's the hall itself, just asking to be open to tourists.
You mean... people like the Japanese, arriving in coaches.
Well, I was thinking more of the Americans.
Oh.
Well, I'd accept anyone who pays.
Well, does all this need to happen now? Surely you'll inherit soon enough and be your own master.
Yeah, but how soon is soon, Mr. Holmes? I'm 40, so I haven't got time to waste. It could be years before I'm really in charge, and changes are needed now. Did you hear that?
Holmes, it's the hound.
It certainly seems like it. Perhaps we could hear it a little more clearly if we went to the front door.
I'll be damned if I set foot outside.
You take this seriously, then?
What do you expect? It doesn't much matter to me whether it's real or someone just using the legend like they did the first time.
No.
Either way, it's likely to mean somebody's death. And that I don't care for.
But Sir George doesn't seem unduly concerned.
Oh, why should he be? His life's almost over. I'm only halfway through mine. There's no sign of anything by day. And yet at night, we hear this. If I hear much more of it, I shall be shot of this place, inheritance or no inheritance. And if you'll take my advice, do as I do. Lock your doors until the morning.
You're up and about early, Holmes.
Four-poster beds may have charm, but they lack comfort. We need to bring this nonsense to a swift conclusion, if only to get back to a decent night's sleep.
Well, I don't see how we can do that yet. It's getting more complicated all the time. The man with the incentive to kill Sir George seems genuinely frightened himself. That's bluff, of course. But we need to locate his hound before we can act.
Oh, dear.
Now, what about Mrs. Garcia interposing herself between the two of them? Perhaps she's on to Michael. But if so, why doesn't she tell us?
Women are strange creatures. So what do you plan to do next?
There's an odd job man who's here during the day, Fred Courtney. I thought we might speak to him.
That would almost certainly be a man with a wart on his chin, a slight limp, and an old brown wheelbarrow.
Really? How on earth do you deduce that?
By looking over your shoulder.
Oh, I see. Mr. Courtney!
Everyone calls me Fred.
Right. Fred. I wonder if I could just ask you a couple of questions.
You from the income tax?
Oh, good Lord, no. Just a friend of Sir George's.
What do you want, then?
You've been here a few years, I suppose.
What if I have?
You must be seeing a few changes recently.
Change? There's meddling, more like. That's all anyone thinks of. Sir George's nephew, you know, if he had his way, we'd all be out of a job with machines in our place. Tell me what machine knows the land like I do.
Fred, if you know the country well, you'd know if there are an animal out in Grimpen Mire.
I only knows about this earth. You tell me what 'tis that owls the nights and kills sheep and leaves no track.
Exactly.
About Mrs. Garcia.
Her at the house?
Yes.
Foreign.
Ah.
Don't hold with foreigners. Don't trust them. And here's another busybody.
Who's that?
Doctor from Grimpen. Don't hold with doctors. Name the blind leading the blind.
Really?
I gotta get these leaves swept.
Well now, darkest Grimpen is emancipated.
Morning to you. Just visiting?
Yes. My name is Watson, and this is...
Holmes, yes. Still, Sir George did send for you. Found out anything useful?
No, it's a little earlier now.
In investigation, I see. You're malingering.
Well, really, I've been going to say we can't divulge...
A client's confidences, I see. Well, Sir George tells me everything. Well, did, I should say, until that foreign woman arrived.
You'll find Mrs. Garcia protects Sir George from...
Me as well, that's right. And me, his doctor. Can't see what someone from a hot climate wants in Devon. Downright suspicious, if you ask me. Still, can't stay here chatting. Not in this life to enjoy myself.
No.
The plot thickens, eh, Holmes? A gardener who doesn't like anyone and believes in the supernatural, and a doctor who thinks she is being supplanted by Mrs. Garcia.
Oh.
I propose we use the fine weather to see if the moor really is without traces of this, how?
I told you, there's nothing to see out there. You've wasted your day.
Not at all. It was another excellent dinner.
Yes. Good God, there it is again. I've had it now. In the morning, I'm off.
Come on, Watson.
Where to, Holmes?
Outside, after your hound.
Aren't we getting very close to the Grimpen Mire, Holmes?
Yes. But whatever's making that noise is on dry land, so there should be little danger for us.
Remarkable the way you never seem to be frightened, Holmes.
That should be the direction. As I thought.
Oh, goodness. Any moment now.
Watson, have you got a license for that gun?
When I'm on a desperate mission, I come prepared.
That does frighten me.
Just keep clear of my line of fire, Holmes.
I most certainly will.
just a few more yards. There.
Well done, Watson.
I got it then.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
You shot and killed a stereo tape recorder.
Oh. Yes, but how could you know it was only a recording?
Well, it's a very odd hound, spectral or otherwise, that repeats its howls exactly on consecutive nights. There was a pattern for you.
So all we need to do is trace the ownership of the tape recorder back to Michael, through the maker's number.
Which your well-aimed bullet has destroyed.
Yeah. Ah. Well, then, fingerprints.
We would need to call the police. No crime has been committed.
No? So Michael placed it there just to scare Sir George, did he?
But Sir George wasn't scared, was he? No. Even Michael would have perceived that by now.
Oh. Well, then, if he didn't put it there, who did?
You overlooked two tiny points, Watson.
Two?
How old is Mrs. Garcia?
Oh, in her late 30s.
And how long ago was Sir George in the Philippines?
End of the war, so about 38. Good heavens. You mean?
Exactly. Secondly, your concern for the portraits was admirable, but focused at the wrong ones. You look for a throwback to an early generation. Study instead just the eyes on that portrait of Sir George as a young man.
Great Scott! Mrs. Garcia, the image of Sir George. The man who can't resist a pretty face.
Yes, sir. Sir George is my father.
Oh, come and join us, Mrs. Garcia. I thought you would notice the demise of your expensive tape recorder.
Please don't tell Sir George. He doesn't know. He was never told my mother had his child.
We need say nothing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you've achieved your purpose anyway. You scared Michael into leaving this morning.
I just wanted to help Sir George end his days in peace.
Mm. Yeah, but what about the will?
Oh, I have no interest in the hall.
Oh?
When Sir George finally is at peace, I shall return to my own land.
But...
I'll explain everything else and I'll drive back.
We're going back now.
Good night, Mrs. Garcia. I shall miss your cooking in London.
Yes. So shall I.
It's splendid to be back. Oh. All that grey stone on the moor was starting to depress me. Ah, what's this in the post?
Holmes, one thing's troubling me.
Huh?
What did savage that sheep?
A wild animal, I imagine.
But then it's still at large.
Huh?
He's still at large.
What?
The wild animal.
Quite possibly. This is excellent.
What, a new case already?
An invitation from the director of the dig at Garlic Hythe to go and visit him. I must get out my Wellington boots.
But Holmes, what about that sheep? Holmes? Holmes?
That episode of Second Holmes starred Peter Egan as Holmes and Jeremy Nicholas as Watson. Mrs. Garcia was played by Rosalind Adams, Baskerville by Anthony Newlands, and Michael by David Goodison, with Steve Hodson as Fred and Jean Trend as the Doctor. Second Holmes was written by Grant Eustace and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.